Hello, my name is Jehan. I am 18 years old. Today, I am speaking with Dennis, who is my father. We're recording in San Antonio, Texas. So, I wanted to know what your opinion is on how you would contrast growing up the way you did without a lot of technology versus how we grow up where we are kind of, you know, almost, you know, submerged and initiated with iPads, iPhones, technology from an early age.
Well, I think the human race is very adaptable. You talk about technology. When I was growing up in Sri Lanka, we didn't even have television. So a lot of the information we got was over the radio, and the quality of the programs was excellent. But we had only a few radio stations. There are always pluses and minuses to advancement. Minuses, as we begin to see now, is the rampant misuse of data that is accumulated by the powerhouses like Google, Facebook, Twitter, and using people's personal information for their own gain. But the positive side of technology is that y'all can communicate. Y'all are up to date with things. Literally, you can be made aware of a situation as it happens in real time. In my case, we had to wait for the newspapers the next day or the news at night to get this information. The downside is, with this technology that we have now and the way it's used in communication, I think the communication and the friendships can be pretty superficial.
Mm-hmm.
In my time, you had a limited amount of friends and you just eyeball contact all the time. There was no, you know, you have a Twitter, a friend on Twitter.
Right.
What the hell is that? How many friends can you have? So that friend has been misused. Would I like to go back to the olden days? There's a saying, you can't go home again,
uh-huh.
My son. And I think if a person is unable to adapt for whatever reasons, cultural, religious, whatever, I think you're going to fall behind. So I was able to adapt, and I think a lot of people my age have adapted. So I think that cultural advancement is, technological advances is good. And one more thing on this, I don't have a say in it. It's going to happen. If I can't stop it. So if I can't stop it, it's the old saying, if you can't lick 'em, join 'em.
Mm-hmm.
So I will join 'em in my limited ability.
Okay, that's very interesting. I wanted to touch on one thing you said, because something I actually thought about a lot, about the like accessibility of information with young people. And actually, I think some studies have shown that my generation, you know, as an 18-year-old, the Gen, I believe we're Gen Z, is a lot more stressed out in comparison with earlier generations. And I thought, you know, maybe one reason was because we have so much access to information that people like me who are 18, you know, since I was like 13, I've been aware of climate change and of humanitarian crisis around the world because of how easy it is with the internet to get information. So do you see that as, like, I'm interested, when you were younger and my age and a little bit younger, did you have a concern for like global issues or like, you know, current events?
Well, when I was your age, my world revolved around free time and sports. Was I aware of happenings going on in the rest of the world? Hardly ever. I do remember being by the radio one time, and the news came on and said, we have a news bulletin, and that was that John Kennedy had been shot. I happened to be there. If I was not there, I would never have known it had happened.
Right.
Now, you can, I mean, you walk about with communication, with your telephone. You walk about, you go across the sea with your telephone. When I was growing up, the telephone we had was this hard, I don't even know what it was made of, but I think you could kill a bear with it because it was rock hard and solid. But it was in your house. You didn't walk around with it.
Yeah.
So you have the ease of communication. Perhaps in some cases, it's too much. People crossing roads looking at their phones, to me, is the downside. I think the ability or the opening, the opportunity of being able to be in touch with world news is very, very, or was very dependent on who your parents were.
Mm-hmm.
If your parents or your, one of the parents was a doctor, the discussion would be along medical lines. If one of your parents worked for the government, dinner time discussions would be based on that. And if one of your parents was an ambassador, you would be
like foreign affairs.
Very much, yeah, very much in tune with foreign affairs. Now, you can be, your interest can be piqued by a simple, innocent statement you heard or saw on your iPhone. And you could follow it up.
Yeah, yeah, I think that's probably like a pretty accurate statement, because I mean, I know, like, if I had to depend on even a TV to get my news, I probably wouldn't care. But, you know, in a couple clicks or in a couple taps on my phone, I can find a total cornucopia of information. And yeah, that kind of, you kind of touched on this already, that your main things you like to do is play sports and, you know, be with your friends in your free time. But so, and I mean, I like to do that a lot too, but when I'm kind of not doing anything actively, I'll often be on my phone, and I won't necessarily be, you know, on social media or anything, you know, engaging like a superficial relationship. I might just be reading something on my phone or looking at a video on my phone. But I mean, what do you think, what impact do you think, you know, having the ability to be on a phone would have had on your childhood in terms of like what you did during your free time?
Oh, growing up, I did a lot of reading, hard books.
As in literature or comics?
Just fun.
Mm-hmm.
Just fun reading. But once the iPhone is, I don't think I've picked up a book in over a year. I mean, y'all gave me a present of a couple of books and I've read those. But most of all, I look at what's going on the daily news. And when I was growing up, by the way, one of the prime ministers was assassinated by, of all people, a Buddhist monk.
Really?
Yeah. And
do you remember his name?
Yeah. Solomon Dias Bandaranaike. SWRD Bandaranaike. He was assassinated, shot dead at his residence by a Buddhist priest called Soma Rama. Interestingly, when Soma Rama went up for trial, he was shot dead himself by another Buddhist priest, mm-hmm. Buddha Rakita. So you all have the conspiracy theory of JFK being shot by Lee Harvey, and then was there one shooter or three shooters, and then he in turn was shot when he was being taken around the courthouse. That obviously generated a huge amount of news, even in my age group.
Mm-hmm.
But as you get older, you become more aware of things, and especially when you're older and you're pretty much cut loose from home and you're on your own, you're much more aware of how much money you have to spend, how responsible you have to be, taxes. You never gave a hoot about taxes when you were growing up. So all that, I guess that's just society's way of molding a person into a new being, so to speak. And that's the word, I guess, adapting. If you don't adapt to those, you're going to fail.
Mm-hmm. And so just like, you know, you talked about like innovation of technology, and I think that's a kind of a constant that happened in Sri Lanka too, just like it happened in the United States. Obviously, you know, the two countries probably progressed in different and unique ways based on the society, but they still, you know, progressed to have the internet and this technology boom. But culturally, just some general themes, what do you see is different in like our values that I have growing up as an American versus what you had growing up in Sri Lanka?
Families were important when I was growing up. And because Sri Lanka is so small, my mother's family, she had five sisters and three brothers. My dad was like the mirror image of that. Five brothers and three sisters. They in turn had their children, so I had cousins, and we would have maybe three or four times a year we would rent a bus and go out to the plantations and just have Jaffna, family time, right? There. No, not Jaffna. Jaffna was too far. My dad was from Jaffna, but it was like a 2 or 3 hour trip in a bus, singing our heads off, no alcohol. Uncles, aunts, nephews, nieces, all together. And food was like everybody chipped in and got food.
Mm-hmm.
They play games, badminton, cricket, soccer, whatever the seasonal sport was.
When
the ones we went to were either rubber or coconut. Tea was a little too far away.
Yeah, that's so. I think, like, I mean, what you're saying is right. Like, here, you know, we have you, we have me, we have my mom, but I don't really have a lot of family that lives around here.
Correct.
And so you're saying it was kind of more of a bigger group thing?
Oh, huge. Huge group thing.
Do you think
Christmas parties were just a riot?
And so, like, you kind of see, you know, people being more in touch with their extended family in Sri Lanka because it was such a small country.
Exactly.
And
but that's not the case now. All those cousins I talked about, my cousins, they've moved to different parts of the world. So we were not in touch for years. And then what happened?
Email.
Internet, yeah. And then via email, and now you have WhatsApp, and you can actually FaceTime people. So you're back in touch, but it's not the same thing. it's
not like seeing
them. Yes, everybody adapted to their new environment, and you do have the conversations, but it's not as free flowing and kidding as it was those days.
You know, I think even young people would agree with that. I think, you know, perception amongst, not necessarily you, but just the older generation in general is that we value social media over interpersonal interaction. But the thing is, I think a lot of the times we don't, and we would often prefer in-person interaction. But it's just that when we don't have access to that, social media, I think, becomes a cheap substitute for what you were saying used to be, you know, super fun, familial, or platonic interactions with your friends playing
sports. Well, it was hardly platonic. There was a lot of family feeling and love and concern for everybody. But don't forget, the U.S. is 1,000 times larger than Sri Lanka.
Mm-hmm.
So even if you had a big family, unless it was a fluke that you all lived in San Antonio, chances are you're spread out all over the world, 2,000, all over the country, 2,000 miles away. Sri Lanka, you're within 10 minutes of everybody.
Yeah.
And Christmas time, after Christmas service, you drop in and see the uncles and aunts. And it was the duty of the, not a written duty, not an insisted duty, but it sort of fell to you as a cousin to go and see your dad's brothers and sisters, or your mother's brothers and sisters.
Yeah.
And on the Christmas season and New Year's, that time. You can't do that here unless you have to. And people are so busy here. There it was expected, so everybody is waiting for a visitor. Here, if you drop in unexpectedly, you could be ruining somebody's daily routine.
Yeah.
Laundry has to be done, or has to go to the store or something.
But you're saying in Sri Lanka, it was more like you could just kind of...
It was. Now, is it like that today? I don't know, because the country has progressed. Mm-hmm. But I'm thinking of a country that I was there 40 years ago.
Yeah.
So things have changed, some for the good, some for the bad, so I don't really know.
Okay, well, thank you so much for joining me. Is there anything else you'd like to add at all?
Yeah, I'll send you the bill. This is going to...
yes. This is costing
this is a good interview. Thank you.
Thank you so much.